Sports on your Podzilla 1985 network. Cody Sandusky here with you on Saturday, June 18th, 2016. And it's the wrap-up of E3 week, or at least E3 week version 1. We'll have Nerd Up tomorrow or Monday, and they will definitely do the recap for all of us. But as we wrap up E3 week here on Podzilla 1985, we're going to bring it to you with a special guest. A special guest whose retirement lasted about as long as one that happens in the WWE. It's Dalton Anthony.
Yo, what's up?
Who, if you missed it, was back on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And they pretty much shared the feelings at the beginning of the show that I have towards you. So, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Go back and listen.
Yeah.
You will appreciate it, I'm sure.
We don't have the editing time to do what they did.
Oh, no. I'm way too lazy to do that. I do this more than maybe some others, so I don't like to spend time if I don't have to.
Yeah.
I would say we're going to talk a lot about sports this week, like real sports like we normally do. I think due to fan response, and thank you for the fan response on the Facebook post I put up last night on my personal page, as well as some of our opinions about it and opinions of the crew of PZ85, we're probably going to focus more on the E3 talk than I thought we initially were, which is really odd given that we just had one North American sport have a champion and that we are one game away from determining a champion in another North American sport. Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, about to say. Well, I mean, I was going to get angry about it and maybe throw a mouthpiece, but I was like, it's not worth it today.
Well, you know, you'd hit me, and I'm the minority owner of PZ85 Sports as someone who contributes money on Patreon, so I'm okay.
Oh,
I would have accepted your apology.
That, I didn't even think of that. Oh.
See, this is why I'm the host of the show.
This is a
I'm
beautiful
witty
day.
Occasionally. But we'll just address it here. Before we jump in, the Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Dalton's not a hockey fan. I'm still upset because the Blues aren't there. So congratulations to the Penguins, 4-1 over the San Jose Sharks. Congratulations to Sidney Crosby, who didn't really deserve but still got the Conn Smythe Trophy. Congratulations to Phil Kessel getting his first cup after years of being made fun of as the closest mock-up of a beer league player in the NHL. Balding, slightly pudgy and all. Congratulations to you, sir. So, hockey's out of the way. We're going to discuss the NBA Finals up to this juncture, especially, of course, as you've heard, if you are any form of sports fan, the mouthpiece throw heard around the world, the almost headshot from Steph Curry, as well as the words that may have come out of his mouth. And we're going to go into what this means for Cleveland. As, of course, if you're familiar at all with Cleveland sports and their long suffering, it's been, to this point, 52 years since any team in that city has won a championship in a Big Four sport. The Cleveland Cavaliers have never won an NBA championship. The Browns haven't won a football championship since 1964, which was a few years before the Super Bowl, and then the Cleveland Indians a few years before that. They actually had the second longest drought in baseball behind the, you know, 107-year drought for the Cubs. No big deal. So that's going to mean a lot no matter what happens in Oakland tomorrow night. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to go over the E3 sports games, primarily Madden 17 and FIFA 17, what they may or may not be bringing to the table that's any different than any other year. And, of course, the big thing that you commented on Facebook, and we will be sharing as well, what are the best sports games of all time? This is going to be an hour show. It may run a little long. We're going to see how that goes depending on how angry we get in here about this. So, let's go in. NBA Finals, in case you have missed it to this point, I've been saying that a lot, so ICYMI, if you're a fan of the abbreviated things on Twitter, the Cavs were down 3-1 in this series, which a team has never come back from 3-1 to win in NBA Finals. Three teams in the history of the NBA have made it to a Game 7 being down 3-1, including these Cleveland Cavaliers. No one has been able to overcome such a deficit entirely to win a title. Game 6 kind of saw what we've been seeing a lot this series, whether it was a win or a loss. And it's something I'm sure we can get into even more as we move forward in PZ85 sports episodes, is the legacy of LeBron James and what he brings to the table. I think it's no longer in question. You cannot, there is no logical argument to make that this man is not having, you know, one of the best careers we're ever going to see. Whether or not you hate him or like him, you have to respect what is going on. And even beyond that, that's a guy that we can't rip on anymore. I can't justify any reason to harp on him. He's leading in every statistical category in the NBA Finals right now. Points, assists, rebounds, blocks, and steals. And there was a great article I tweeted on SB Nation, or from SB Nation, excuse me, a couple days ago, that talked about the fact that there are fans that get so bitter when he doesn't perform to this unrealistic expectation constantly. LeBron has scored 40 points in two consecutive NBA games. There's a limited list of people who have done that, one of which is the icon of the NBA, literally the logo, Jerry West. LeBron James has emulated that performance, and this time it isn't in so much of a selfish regard. This isn't, you know, the 07 Cleveland Cavaliers. We had to carry them on the back to get to the Orlando Magic Eastern Conference Finals. This is different. And if he doesn't score 40, get over it. It's still a great performance.
I just don't like him as a person.
Most people don't.
Yeah, like, and I mean, as a player, I will never take away what he's been able to do. But I remember 2010, whenever he took his talents to South Beach, and he turned ESPN into LeBron James Day.
Well, let's be honest. ESPN had been making it LeBron James Day a lot of days before that.
That's true.
ESPN just threw all in journalistic integrity out the window that day.
That one day, yeah.
And forgot where it was and never found it again. Anyway.
But yeah, no. Like you said, I will never be able to say that he isn't one of the most important players in NBA history, and he still has a lot of quality years left on him. He's definitely going to win a few more NBA championships before his time is done. I don't think he'll ever get to Jordan's level, but I mean, not a lot of people do.
If he wins this one, it's three.
It's three.
There's something to be said for that.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, you get three NBA championships. That's an impressive feat. I would say he's better than Kobe at this point. Just his playing style, I like it more. But I hate him. I like Kobe Bryant way, way more. But, it's one of those things where it's just like, all right, I respect what you can do. Still don't like you. But he's been having a good series. The last game was full of shenanigans, as we alluded to earlier, because I think that there was some not good fouls called.
Well, that's been this entire playoff.
Yeah, definitely. But it's just one of those things where it's just like, 40 points back-to-back, you have my attention, LeBron, and I don't want to see you win a championship, but I can easily see it happening, which would be cool for them to finally break that streak of a team completely coming back from 3-1, coming back and then winning it, because that's a stat that's happened a couple times, like that they brought up a couple times in the last few years. Like within the last 10, 15 years, I know there's been a few NBA championships where it went 3-1 and a team starts coming back and then they're like, well, it's never happened before, so we don't see it happening again.
And it hasn't.
Yeah.
So I get the bitterness about 2010. Mind you, in 2010, I mean, let's look at this. LeBron is only 31 years old, which for people postulating that he's on the tail end of his prime, which includes Colin Cowherd from Fox Sports Radio, we talked about that he's on that tail end. It's kind of ridiculous to think about. I get he's been in the league since 2003, excuse me. So he is at this point a 13-year veteran of the league, 12-year veteran. It's insane to think that that's happened and this is still his prime, but I think it's at this point that I think LeBron has finally tapped into fully what he is, which is, and I'm not saying that he didn't know who he was previously when he won MVPs and stuff like that. It's a complete performance. He is logistically the most complete player we've seen since maybe Magic Johnson in terms of being able to assist, to rebound, to score. He can handle all facets of the game in a body type and a body size that the NBA has not seen before. So it's impeccable. I'm not breaking any new news. I'm not breaking any ground with this conversation. We know this. We've seen it. It's just we've got to get off of this concept that if he's not scoring 50 points a night, he's not having a good night or he's being a choke artist. The guy scored 25, 7, and 7 this season was his average. And people think that's a mediocre season. Think about that. 25, 7, and 7 is still one of the most well-rounded seasons you're going to see in the NBA. Ever.
What's the, we have these computers in front of us. Like, what's the average score for an NBA team a game? Isn't it around, like, 90 to 100?
Approximately is where you're going to see
it. Yeah, it's around 90 to 100. He's scoring 1/4 of that team's points.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Even if I don't like LeBron James, you're scoring 1/4 of my points, I will sign you to my team every day of the week. I'll be like, you mean I just have to get a team to score 75 points because you're going to knock in 25 of them? And that's just on average. There's days you'll hit 40, sometimes 45. Like, I would sign that player every day of the week. I don't care what his attitude's like. But in all reality, he really, I mean, he's always had a very, like, swagger about him. He hasn't been that level of LeBron James since 2010 in a long time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, that comes with age. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things I'll never forget it. Like, I remember reading Slam magazine whenever I was a kid or younger, and I saw the thing of, like, the Chosen One is tattooed on his back, and I was like, this guy, nope.
This guy's full of himself.
Yeah, I was like, never be a fan of this guy. I mean, but I'll respect his play, of course. Yep. But, yeah, he's a little much.
To give you the scoring averages for this season, the Golden State Warriors, of course, led with 114.9 points per game, the lowest being 97.3 from the LA Lakers. But even then, he is scoring approximately 20-25% of a team scoring.
Yeah.
In a season.
Get that player right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let's make a St. Louis team. We'll get it. He'll be the first one we get.
Yeah, and that's been a fun discussion in sports in general, which is who would you start your team with number one? And as we go into Steph Curry here in a second, people have been talking about, oh, I might start wanting Steph over LeBron. And while I understand, you know, Steph's a couple years younger, his injury-plagued first couple seasons are behind him, albeit we've seen a little bit of a flare-up in this postseason, it's still kind of unrealistic to think you're going to pick anybody other than LeBron James to start your team around. Even at 31 years
yeah.
old, you are building a franchise at the rate he is going. Even if he starts to slip over the next 4 or 5 years, maybe. I still think 25-7-7 is realistic for him going into like his age 36, 37 season.
Yeah.
I think he's fully capable of that. And if so, you are building a team around a guy who has multiple MVPs. Whether or not he wins tomorrow night, multiple finals championships. For the next 5 or 6 years, you have an upper echelon player on your team who can do it all. Again, I think that's the thing that people tend to ignore sometimes, is the fact that Steph Curry, yes, the three-point circus shots are stupid awesome to watch. It's something we don't see very often on such a large volume scale, because the Golden State Warriors are just chucking up threes like they're going out of style or they're getting banned next year. But to see someone who is capable of dominating a game in so many forms, whether it be on the boards, whether it be in his passing prowess, which, mind you, not as great a passer as Magic, who I mentioned earlier, but overall, I would still think that same level of play. I mean, remember, Magic Johnson started an NBA Finals game at center his rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what LeBron is. That's what LeBron is bringing to your table. So I think this kind of this hate on him, I understand. I was really bitter about it around the decision, too. I thought it was the dumbest moment. It made me sad as a future sports journalist, and it made me sad as a sports fan. Overall, yeah. Like, this was what free agency wasn't supposed to be. This wasn't what sports journalism is supposed to be. But it's been 5 or 6 years. It's been 5 years, 6 years now. I think I've come to grips with it. It's a bad decision, yes. It's something, but he won multiple championships and has come home. I think I'm willing to let it slide. I don't necessarily am mad at him for the decision, like the decision to go to South Beach, necessarily. I still think it was the spectacle that was made of it that made me more angry.
Yeah. I would. Durant is probably who I would pick over LeBron. I don't think I would pick Steph Curry over LeBron,
no.
But I would definitely pick Durant just because the year's younger and he just that scoring machine that we're talking about. Yeah, I see you scratching your head, but it's my choice that I made it.
Yeah.
St. Louis Spirit V2.
And I would take the Spirit of St. Louis again. And just for full disclosure, If you follow any of my stuff on Facebook, which you probably don't, but it's there. I have in times past argued that Steph Curry would be the person you pick.
Yeah.
I was wrong then. I was admittedly playing a bit of devil's advocate just because, of course, everyone was going with the LeBron route. But it's LeBron. LeBron or Durant. I can understand Durant's argument. He's a few years younger.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the argument is there that, you know, I admit when I'm wrong and I admit when I'm playing like a fool. LeBron's number one. Speaking of Steph Curry, though. Fun things happen in Game 6. Fun things, including F-words, perhaps, that you don't see from Steph Curry very often. And by very often, I mean probably never. At least you would think so. Game 6. About 3 minutes left in the contest. Steph Curry fouls out. There's been arguments, of course, back and forth that the officials have been very shoddy this postseason. Be that as it may. Steph Curry fouls out. About 3 minutes left in the game. Of course, Game 6, vital game, trying to win a title. In Cleveland. Before it has to go back home, which I'm sure the Warriors are happy about, but I think they would just rather the series be done. Gets upset, says some choice words to the official, throws his mouthpiece, which strikes a fan on the front row, who just so happens to be the son of a minority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Aisha Curry goes on Twitter, says some real sketchy stuff about the finals being rigged for money or for something, despite the fact that her husband's team went down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals and then bounced back to win it in 7. I don't know how I feel about all this. And, you know, of course, we're not the first ones to put this conversation in the limelight or to put Steph Curry on the skewer, as we may hear in a few minutes. You know, this isn't new. This has been in the news the last 24, 36 hours. So by no means are we presenting new elements or new conversations. But man, that was tough to watch if you're any form of fan of what Steph Curry tries to depict himself as. And I would say still depicts himself as, and I think genuinely is.
Yeah. I'm not mad at him at all. It's game 6 of the NBA Finals. You're 8 points down, or it was somewhere between 8 and like 14 points down.
Yeah, they ended up losing 115 to 101.
Yeah. You feel like you've had some bad calls made against you that game. You're on your last spot of being able to be fouled. You're on your last foul. And something happens to where it kind of looks like some Cavaliers kind of overplayed it, that a little bit too much contact was made, which is something LeBron is also good at, is making it look like a little too much contact was made. And then, I mean, game 6, you have an NBA Finals on the line. You can go back-to-back, which only a handful of teams have been able to do in the NBA. Mm. And you get fouled out on some stuff that you don't think is necessarily correct. I would have acted the exact same. Would I have thrown my mouthpiece? No. But even, like, in the post-game interview, he said, like, when I've thrown my mouthpiece before, I usually try to hit the score table. My aim was a little off. Yeah.
He went and apologized to the guy.
And yeah, he went and apologized to him. And the guy that hit, like, the guy went on Twitch or Twitter or something like that. Not Twitch. I'm thinking of something different. But, like, made a quick little, like, 3-second video where he was just like, oh, yeah, it hit me. And then he came up and apologized to me about it. It was like, it was no big deal. Like, obviously, emotions got the best of him, as it would anybody.
I was about to say, coming from someone who threw his batting gloves after going 0-for-4 and stranding 11 people on base in his softball game on Thursday, the night that game happened, yeah, I'm very aware and very understanding of how that goes.
Like, I may and or may not have thrown a pencil after, like, a lesson that I tried to go through didn't work the way I wanted it to. Like, it happens.
That's a sharp object. You can hurt children.
I always did it after the fact. Like, I did it after I left the classroom. I didn't, like, completely Steph Curry it.
Well, I'm just saying. You have to be very... Pencil is not... You can't impale someone with a mouthpiece. You can impale someone with a pencil.
Did you see how hard he threw that thing?
That's fine. That thing's still made out of silicone and rubber, not lead.
But
or
yeah,
graphite.
Like,
excuse me, graphite.
Yeah, but, like, it's one of those things, like, I can't fault him for it. Also, if we're going to act like he's such a villain, let's talk about LeBron James again.
See, this is the thing that keeps coming up, and I don't know how I feel about it, which has been the comment, if LeBron James did this, his head would be on a stake in the eyes of most sports fans.
Well,
we would be burning his funeral pyre right now.
It's because he's done it before. He's done stuff like, well, maybe not to this extent, but he has definitely let his emotions get the best of him, and, like, it's one of those things, like, if LeBron would have done this, it would have been like, oh, he's such a passionate player. Like, the Cavaliers fans would have been so defensive about it. Instead of Steph Curry, everybody's like, let's vilify him.
Now, see, you're taking a completely diametric opinion from most people in sports media and social media as a whole, because people are saying, oh, we're giving a pat on the back to Curry, saying it's passionate, he's apologized, everything's okay. If LeBron did this, we'd want him dead.
Well,
and a lot of fans probably would lean that way.
Oh, well, I would, yeah, but it's because I've seen LeBron do some things that would be common actions for him. Because I've seen him do things like that before. I've seen him yell at refs before. I've seen him get his way before. So it's one of those things, like, this is one of the first times Steph Curry's ever done this, right?
It's one of the first times really been public or this large, yes.
Yeah. He's a very, like, very subdued personality. Like, he plays big. He doesn't act big. So the first time I see it, I'm going to let it slide. Because also, it's the game 6 and he got fouled out. And I watched the fouls that happened. Some of them were shenanigans. I would be mad, too.
I would say that the first two Kevin Love fouls were also pretty shenanigans, so I'm not sure kind of if there was a balancing out to be had. I have a couple friends on social media that are really big in terms of this. calling it a double standard. Where the Golden State Warriors ham it up, they are a trash-talking team. They do what other people accuse the Cavaliers or previously the Heat of doing. It's just that the Golden State Warriors have this good guy underdog image, or that they're changing the game with three-pointers, that they get away with it. And there are a lot of people, I think they're growing resentful. Or at least it's a small groundswell. I wouldn't say there's a lot. I think it could quickly become a lot of people who are starting to maybe resent this good guy mentality that the Golden State Warriors tend to carry themselves with, but people are starting to maybe think they're seeing through. It's interesting to see, and I'm not saying that this is the end of this story, because no matter what happens tomorrow night, which is going to be an insane Game 7, and if you are any fan of sports, sit tight and watch it. And yes, I understand that Money in the Bank is the thing. I'm going to be watching the finals.
I understand that. I'm going to be watching Roman win. Just because that's the fandom. But anyway.
Roman looks strong style.
So that actually, I wanted to kind of make a really quick point before we go to the video games. In an NBA finals, and we've talked about like my love of like the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
The officiating, because this is kind of what it's being based around right now, the officiating, how do you want them to officiate a game like the finals as a whole, all seven games if it goes to it?
At this point, give me 90s style. If you have to go so far as to ignore some hand checks, ignore some hand checks. Now, obviously, you can't allow clotheslining. You can't go quite as bad as Bad Boys Pistons of the late 80s, early 90s. But let the game flow. Incidental contact, let it go. I get it's a different style, and that's going to make some people mad in terms of call the games equally all season long, no matter what the moment. Most times I agree with that, but I'm getting to the point where the NBA seems to be a bit too touchy in terms of officiating. I would like to see some things like, we'll never see it again, but the hand check come back.
Yeah, and
I
mean,
think the finals is a big place to let that happen.
Oh, for sure. Let them play. Like, I remember the Spurs, Bruce Bowen. That guy played the roughest defense. Never fouled out that often in the finals.
Well, that was his whole point. He hit an occasional three and locked down whomever you're around.
Yeah, and like, but just the toughest defense. And like, I love watching a strong defensive player like that. Ben Wallace is one of my favorite NBA players. 11 points a game.
Yep.
His good year.
Yeah. I was about to say, that's a highlight. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But, like, I love players like that, but you don't get to see it as much anymore because you have these really flashy offensive showcases now. But, I mean, this has been a thing talked about for the last 15 years, so it's right. One of those things that I'm just... It's in the finals that I think they should definitely let the players play a little bit more. Don't let them clothesline them out of midair, for sure. Like, let's keep them safe, but let's let them play, too. Yeah. I mean, it's a fine line, but it should definitely be a thing.
Right. And again, I understand people who are going to argue and say, okay, let that be season round. Okay, let that be season long. Let's back off a little bit with the officiating and let it go.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Then again, maybe I'm in a minority, I don't know, but I would rather have a free flow, a decently called, but let some contact happen.
Yeah.
There's no need for this. If a guy breathes the wrong way, he's picking up a foul off the ball. This is dumb.
Yeah.
That's enough for the NBA final. Well, actually, I won't say that. Game 7, tomorrow night. Who do you got?
Warriors.
See, I'm going Cavaliers. I think the streak is over. The 52-year sadness of Cleveland is going to be lifted for 1 year until they remember they're in Cleveland.
No, I want Cleveland to know their place.
See, here's the thing. If Cleveland wins, Cleveland might burn to the ground in happiness.
Silver lining.
No, see, I joke about that. I may actually be hoping to maybe apply for jobs in national markets in Cleveland's one of them. I can't do that. Anyway.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's probably
it's
fine.
It's probably fine.
I don't want to speak ill of a major city just in case they may or may not be willing to offer me a job in the next few years. You got to keep those doors open. I'm not that big yet.
Oh, Cleveland.
Yes. But that's enough for the NBA Finals. You are listening to PZ85 Sports. Cody Sandusky, Dalton Anthony here. Thank you guys for tuning in. So we said it's going to be probably an hour-long show this time around. And for this next, well, large portion of it, we're about 25 minutes in, you're going to hear the reason why. It's because the beauty of E3 happened. And by E3, I was going to say EA because that's really the thing we'll be focusing on from E3 for us, is the sports games. And by sports games, I mean two. Because that's really the big things that happened. Yes, I will acknowledge now, Steep is a thing. It's the new snowboarding action sports game that Ubisoft's working on, and I'm interested in it. Now, mind you, as Jesse and them mentioned earlier in the week, I think it may have actually been Shannon, 1080-degree snowboarding is still a game that someone's going to have to conquer, or SSX3 and SSX Tricky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the games, or even Amped. Amped on the original Xbox was a great launch title for that system.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, It's going to have a lot of things to overcome, but I will pay attention to it because it's the first snowboarding game that I think looks all right in a while.
You can make anything pretty on these new systems.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
True.
But it's Ubisoft, so like whenever you start the game, you're going to start at the bottom of the mountain and glitch up.
All you're going to see are goggles and a snowboard. You're not going to see the body. You see the eyes poking through the goggles because, of course, you know, Assassin's Creed Syndicate joke.
Oh, man, if they make Altair a playable character, I will buy that game so fast. That's an Assassin's Creed reference. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll let it go because I enjoy some of those games.
Yeah.
Anyway, the big two, as always in the sports community, especially in these last few years, the big two this year are Madden 17 and FIFA 17. We'll start with kind of what is the big development for FIFA 17, which is the journey mode. Have you watched a lot of the footage for it yet? Or
I have not, because I've just, I have not been excited about a Madden game in quite some time.
I'm with you. So FIFA 17 is using the Frostbite engine, which of course is being used by some of these newer games, so it's a very big deal. There's a new mode they've created this year called the Journey, which is a bit of a take off of kind of what we've seen in the NBA 2K16 mode this last year, which was the Create Your Story, or we've seen in games past like the Create Your Superstar or Be a Pro. Difference is this focuses around a singular athlete who you do not create. His name is Alex Hunter. He is a young football phenom, and your goal is to, you start by signing with a Premier League club, any of them. Whether it be, you know, they show in the trailer him going so far as to go to Leicester City, which is less of a stretch now. They've won the championship in the Premier League. Excuse me. And most of the footage shows him with Man United because why not Man United?
Yeah.
No one showing him a picture of being with West Ham, which is what I'm going to do if I ever buy the game because go Hammers. Anyway, no one likes this. You sign with the club and the game is supposed to adapt based upon your club choice, your performance on the pitch, your post-game and social media comments, etc. So it's not quite a person or adaptable experience for you because you're not making yourself in the game. But because of the engine, they said they spent a lot of time with the crew that made, the Mass Effect games, BioWare. Mm-hmm. They spent time interacting with them and trying to adapt parts of that system, parts of that communication system, the conversation system, into this game to make it a more adaptable, free-flowing, livable experience, something to really make you invest in playing as this Alex Hunter, make you invest into being this person, and give some more depth to the general create a superstar mode. Of course, if you're any fan of the Madden games, like, you know, Dalton and I are, and most of us here at PZ85, you're familiar with the be a superstar mode, where, yeah, you create yourself as a player, and yeah, you have the IQ test thing, and yeah, you go to the draft, but there's nothing there. Like, yeah, you have an apartment that's your hub, but you don't do anything there. You don't decorate, you don't do stuff like that. Part of what this is to give you that behind-the-scenes living experience. And the trailer kind of showed him being in his apartment, throwing things around, knocking off lamps. It didn't look like the most friendly player on the planet all the time. And it's really interesting for me to see. I like it. And I didn't think I was going to upon hearing it first. Because, of course, you're locked into this one singular figure. But from what I'm seeing, it's a risk. And it's a risk I think you have to take in a game like a FIFA. Because, yes, it's a yearly update system, but it's a unique sport where I think you can do this. And because your fan base is so large, as long as your core game stays the way it has been, and with the Frostbite engine, they're talking about momentum and movement, like forward and laterally, that's going to play more of a role, so you're not going to see people stopping on a dime, things like that. They're making those every year changes we talk about. But with this game, it has such a large user base, and as long as the core experience of the game stays relatively intact to FIFA 16, I think you can take this risk and survive if it doesn't work. But my goodness, can you get a big payoff if it does?
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those things, like, whenever I read up on it, because I read up on it a little bit, the Alex Hunter, that part I liked. Because I don't know how much of the WWE games you played, but WWE 12 had a story mode where you started as started as Sheamus, went to Triple H, and then you went to this created wrestler, which you could create what he looked like. But the name was Jacob Cass no matter what. And Austin Aries was the one that voiced him. So, like, it was always Jacob Cass. You always had the same moveset, but you could change what he looks like around. I loved that mode. I loved it more. I think that was probably my favorite story mode in a long time in a WWE game.
Oh, by far.
So, like, I like the idea of being able to do that. Plus, you also get the audio, because, like, let's face it, my first and last name aren't compatible with they're not saying my first or last name in the commentary booth to get me in there.
Nope.
So, I mean, it makes it a little bit more immersive, even though it isn't saying Dalton. It's the character that I am.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's a really, really unique way to go about a sports game. I'm afraid that if FIFA doesn't sell well this year, they're going to abandon it. Because I would love to see something like that in an NFL game.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll happen because I don't think they're giving credit to the NFL fans as much. Like, I think they're just like, because last year's Madden game got a draft mode where you got to pick from three players and then you did 15 rounds of it. And then I hope the rest of your team doesn't suck.
Yep.
Like, that's what they give us. Now, they gave us Create a Superstar back in 06, and they gave us a lot of really cool concepts with that. But as far as that, I haven't been really excited about it. Like, I'll play it because it's Madden, but I don't really get too thrilled about it. I think I bought the last one used and then played it for about a week and then traded it back in because I can only throw ball and catch so much.
I own a copy of Madden 12. I play it occasionally. We'll get into what my Madden hours have been devoted to here in a minute. But no, I agree. It sucks that I don't think you're going to see this in a future Madden game. I don't know if you can recreate this too many times in a FIFA game even.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
There's only so many ways you can have that kind of story mode happen. And it's the thing that, yeah, it's unfortunate because sports toe this very fine line in terms of you have to, at least the games are trying to, when you do like a franchise mode, they're trying to have the quote-unquote input from insiders, like, you know, the Twitter hand, you know, feed from Adam Schefter and guys like that. They're trying to make it more immersive. But for the most part, much like for WWE games, still yet in universe mode, and even when we were younger playing the older games, it relies on the user to create storylines and to become immersed by their own volition. And it's, again, a very fine line to toe because, like you said, there are some people where there are only so many games you can play until you get burned out. Myself and a few of my friends are maybe of a different tilt in the sense that, yeah, we'll knock out 82-game season in a hockey game in about a month and a half. Because we enjoy it. We go in, we play, we make our moves, we make our rosters what we want, and we go. And there's maybe not so much in terms of, oh, yo, I'm creating this competition in my mind between the second liner and third liner. Most people aren't going to do that. So it's a very difficult thing to do. But on the opposite side of the coin, I think it's very difficult to cultivate a story mode like this too many times in a sports game where people have come to expect that kind of attachless mentality where it's like, oh, okay, this is the player on the pitch. I like this player. I like this team. I'm going to play as them. And I don't think there are too many stories you can tell in a sports game with a player because, of course, there's a lot of topics either the leagues aren't going to want you to broach or you don't want to broach. I don't want to hear anything that's actually going on in sports news right now in the video game because, unfortunately, sexual assault is happening too often for me to, one, be comfortable with it being discussed, two, no one sane would ever want to have that in their video game or connected to a person, real or fictitious, and three, No. So I think it's a great ambitious step, and I think it's very worthwhile being put in a FIFA game, and I hope it's going to be very good. I just don't know how many times they can recreate it, and that's why I think we may only see this once or twice. And that may be okay. That could be a big thing, and they wait until another generation to try it again. But it's something different, and for as much crap as I give EA and sports games, primarily EA, for not changing a lot, I'm thankful they're willing to take this kind of radical step.
Yeah. Really quick before we get on to the other news, I want you to watch the John Oliver NCAA bit.
Oh, I have. No
okay, the ending game where it's like the most realistic NCAA. He's like, uh-huh. you don't get an E. You can't accept money from anybody.
Yeah.
That's like the most realistic game yet, or the most authentic game to date is what I think is what they called it.
I'm a huge fan of John Oliver, so yes.
Yeah,
I have seen it.
Whenever you made the comment about it, I was like, I don't want to see something. It's like, oh, NCAA had the most authentic experience yet.
NCAA Baylor Simulator 2017. Fire all your coaches, fire your administration, and don't talk about the things you need to talk about. I'm not bitter. Moving on. Madden 17's a game. It's going to be there again, and again, we're hearing they're focusing on presentation. They're focusing on maybe some gameplay changes. This year, they have brought in a new commentary team again. It's Brandon Gaudin and Charles Davis. Brandon Gaudin, in case you're unfamiliar, he doesn't call NFL games primarily. He does Big Ten football for the Big Ten Network.
Oh.
He does Westwood One commentary for some of their sports, college football, college basketball. And Charles Davis, who works for the NFL Network, is an NFL analyst. We're familiar with him. The reason they made the change, they pointed this out in the Madden 17 press junket, is that they didn't want to bring back in, Jim Nantz and Phil Sims, because their commitments are too large. They couldn't accomplish what they're wanting to do this year, which is, and I think this is very unique, They're wanting to bring Gaudin and Davis in each week to record audio based upon what has happened in the real NFL to then send in updates to allow the game's commentary to adapt as season performances occur. And at this point, they have already said in the, like the first 3.5 weeks they've had Gaudin and Davis in the studio, they have already recorded more than what they would typically record in a year for a Madden game.
Jeez.
And being on the commentary side, I really like Brandon Gaudin. He's a guy I really enjoy listening to on Big Ten football and just whenever I can catch him. He's a very, very competent speaker. He's a younger guy, but he's good at what he does. Very relatable, and I think that that adaptive audio, and again, this is a benefit, and even Gaudin said it in the video about it, it's a benefit of constantly connected internet devices, like your PS4 and Xbox One. These things can happen, whereas they couldn't happen realistically even in the last generation without eating up a lot of your storage space, depending on what size system you had. I really like the idea. I like the commentary team. If you haven't seen the video, just search for it. Just Google Madden 17 commentary. They have a YouTube video about it. It's a really cool idea, and I think maybe my favorite presentation step that Madden's made in a few years, at least.
Oh, it's ambitious for sure. I love the idea of it. A big reason why whenever I play sports games, I turn the sound down and I listen to podcasts.
Yep.
If I get adaptive audio, I may actually listen to a couple games.
I'm there with you. There's only so much repetition I can take of, wow, yeah, what a hit. And hey, look at this guy who, in my franchise, hasn't scored a touchdown in 10 weeks, but is still one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, because his rating's 93.
Yep.
But yeah, like it's stuff like that. I really like that concept. The fact that they've recorded more than they ever have before. It's gonna be a lot to get me to buy Madden. It's a good thing Gronk's on the cover. That's gonna be a good step for me. But it's at least they're trying to make it not seem like they're
phoning it in
again.
Always.
For the when they buy the license, 2006.
We'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there. They're also focusing, and these are some from Twitter replies from EA Sports personnel, that the pregame presentation and the like will adapt depending on the game's placement in the schedule, so now it's not going to be just generic. They're hoping to include like a Sunday night football look, a Monday night football look, Thursday night football look.
Oh.
Now, they may not have the license for like the actual logos and iconography from all of those CBS, ESPN, and NBC, respectively, but they're going to try. And that's cool because maybe one of the beefs with the older games, which again, depending on how old the game is, it wasn't realistic, is changing the way the game was presented because there just wasn't the storage space or you couldn't do that. It wasn't realistic. But we're at a point where we can do that, and that's interesting. Gameplay is supposed to be developing, of course, some of the Ignite engine, some of the Frostbite engine stuff they're starting to look at, but I'm worried about it. The big point, and you can catch it on YouTube, there's a 15-20 second clip, you know, of course, they're releasing their promotional stuff, about gap assignments, where your offensive line will recognize gap assignments. Yeah. The video they chose, mind you, chose, because Madden, they made this video. They could pick whatever gameplay they wanted. They pick a video where an offensive lineman completely misses Luke Kuechly from the Carolina Panthers and gets his running back obliterated in the backfield. How do you sell your developing game with images that defy what you're talking about?
Aliens. I don't know. That's weird. That's funny. I haven't seen the video. I'm going to watch it now.
Oh, yeah. I think I've got it. I'll send it to you. It's hilarious that it happens. Yeah. He's like, look at number 71. He's like, a gap assignment. Completely runs off to the right sideline, and Kuechly just smashes the running back.
You can play as 2009 Rams.
Yeah.
And 2010 Rams. I'm not going to keep that joke going. I'm going to be talking too long.
No. The other big thing they're looking to push, and it's one of their big highlights, is weekly preparation. Which we've seen before.
When did we see it, Cody?
I think it was ESPN NFL 2K5, where you could prepare for the week ahead, and maybe some Madden games previously, too.
Huh.
And play the moments, which is essentially a super sim, like you're familiar if you play any EA Sports games, but allows you to play a big moment. Like, hey, say there's a 3-15 for your team. It lets you jump right into that play and then jump back out. Instead of just simming through the entire drive, it'll point out moments.
I think the ESPN baseball games did that, too.
A little bit. Yeah. They did. So, I'm not going to be buying any of these games day one. I never do. I haven't bought a sports game day one since, 2005. And we'll get into the reasons why. But, as we've joked about it, these are games that are presenting stuff that we've seen before. It may be new to this generation of the game, but it's not stuff that's groundbreaking or not stuff we haven't seen before. Now, mind you, trying this hard on presentation is really great. I'm glad they're doing this. But here's what I'm worried about. And by worried about, I mean they won't do, but I think it's a further point that they should. Doesn't this prove that you can just release a roster update and keep a game on the shelves for more than just 1 year?
I'm a fan of the WWE game, so I'm not going to comment.
Nope. I don't care who. No, it's a thing. It's been a big contention point in sports gaming that a lot of games are just roster updates and graphical enhancements. There's truth to that in many cases, especially these last few years. If you go so far as to recording new audio weekly for your game, and it's feasible to send that information to someone's Xbox or PS4, you have literally sealed the argument that this is capable of being done. You do not need to release a Madden 18. Just have someone pay $10 or $20 to upgrade Madden 17 to the next season, then release a Madden 19.
Yeah.
There is no longer an argument about whether or not you can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we talked about it on a Nerd Up one day.
I believe so.
Where I was just like, yeah, well, licensing. Like, I want to make sure the players that are injuring themselves are getting paid accordingly. So I am okay with them doing it every year, but only for that reason. Madden hasn't done anything exciting new gameplay-wise since 2007. With the truck stick? Or no. It was the truck stick in 2006. It became the highlight stick because it made no sense why a little running back was able to bulldoze over somebody.
Yep. Darren Sproles should not be running over Ray Lewis.
That was the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they haven't, like, gameplay-wise, like, yeah, they'll change a few things up, and Ultimate Team was kind of neat for a few weeks. But besides that, Madden hasn't done anything to excite me. I'll still buy it or I'll still rent it, but it's only because I'm a big football fan, and it's my only way to take in football because I don't have cable. So that's why I buy them and that's why I rent them. But yeah, no, I completely agree to a certain extent. They could easily just fix the roster at the end of the Super Bowl, let you play with that until August, make you pay $20 to $30, and that way you just get $30 for just updating stuff that you would have done anyway.
Yeah.
No distribution. You can just make a commercial. You don't even have to do anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a double-sided sword, like a double-edged. It's just I want to make sure the players get paid. I also don't like that they have to make a physical copy every year.
I still think players could get paid off of that, but that's just me.
Yeah.
And especially you can sell it. I get it doesn't get as much money in the hands of players and whatnot. You can make the resale value of a game a little bit better. Because it would still be worthwhile having the game from last year because you can update it to this year.
Yeah, $90 over the course of 2 years is still better than $120 over the course of two.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, yeah.
Yep. But that's all we're going to get into for the new games, and actually a little bit longer than I expected. We're about 42 minutes. So now, for the fun parts.
Woo-woo.
We're now no longer angry, or at least, I'm still angry. Anyway, best sports games of all time. And I put a post on my personal Facebook page, tagged PZ85 in it, of course, and hope to hear back from some friends and from some listeners in terms of their favorite sports games and what their memories consist of. And so we got some responses. I'm very thankful for those that participated. Of course, I have some friends who threw out, Jacob Scholl threw out FIFA because soccer. Yes, FIFA is good. I get it. You're a soccer fan. Not really what I'm going to help here. Aaron Picard, of course. Famous contributor to PZ85, actually contributed to the sports show I'm on, Saturday Morning Express, from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on CMO ESPN 92.9 FM and 1220 a.m. Thank you, Aaron. Also contributed something to this list, and that's where we're going to start with this one. So, best or favorite sports games of all time. Aaron Picard, for a lot of these, I'm going to just kind of skate over them because there's a lot of content. Aaron Picard is a big fan of NFL Blitz due to high school football competitions where the loser of a game would buy lunch. Said he lost most of those games. I know those feels, my friend. Punch Out. Of course, a game I overlooked in my initial concept for this, or initial discussion, is Punch-Out, the entire series, honestly. I don't think they failed in any of the three that exist. And then NBA Jam. Let's just be upfront about this. A lot of my list was written by people who submitted comments. My list is pretty much taken care of. I didn't have to come up with anything new because everyone else pretty much took care of it. Aaron Picard, I actually have to really shout out the Punch-Out one. I did not think about it, and it really is for me. Fight Nights aside, it's probably still my favorite boxing game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Punch-Out series.
Yeah. It was what Nintendo should have done with a boxing game and made it fun.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And, I'm looking through the list right now if you want to keep going through them. But Yeah, I'm actually kind of happy that I have avoided most of the ones that they've said. Oh, except for that one really long one that I'm reading right now.
Yep, that's my friend Brett. We'll get to that. Austin Mueller submitted MVP Baseball 04 and 05, which, yes, if you didn't jump over to the show, those still may be your best sport baseball games. MVP Baseball 2005 had a killer owner mode, which let you build your stadium from the ground up, kind of took that owner mode from the football Madden, or the Madden football games, and brought that over to baseball. Was applied very well. Mike Roy said the NBA or the NHL series and then NBA Live 07, they were personal memories for him, winning a cup with the Blues in NHL and one of the NHL games. Kudos to that. NBA Live 07, which is actually a game I have some memories of for similar reasons, which is just playing a bunch of games and not being able to get anything going. NBA Hang Time for the N64 for my friend Richard. Yeah, it was a broken game, but it was a fun game, so we'll go with that. Actually something that someone, Ian Freeman, submitted that wasn't actually anything I considered, but Wave Race, the games for the N64 and GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the non-traditional sports games. I think Wave Race, I was actually going to use Sled Storm from the PlayStation 1. It was my first real experience, that and watching the Winter X Games as a kid on ESPN. It was my first experience to, oh, hey, yeah, I'm in an area that doesn't get snow. This looks fun. And Wave Race is kind of the same way. I would kind of try to think of some of the PS1 versions of those games. You know, we had Hydro Thunder in the arcade and things like that. But yeah, Wave Race games were really good in the sense that it was something that most people don't get to experience, but had that great racing feel to it. So there was a lot of fun to that. And then Brett Van, good friend of mine, big list. He gave us one for each sport, and I'll take it. For football, it was NFL Blitz and ESPN NFL 2K5. We will discuss that, definitely. Don't worry. Basketball, he picked NBA Jam Tournament Edition and NBA Courtside 2 featuring Kobe Bryant. Yes, very much so. Mario Kart is included, and the sports series for Mario in general. I can't argue that. And yeah, for Nintendo fans, that may be your best option. Of course, Mario Kart, I think it stands above sports games. I think it's just a beloved game in general.
Oh, yeah.
I think it just carries beyond this conversation. Although, I did not get to play a lot of the Mario Strikers game.
I haven't.
I've played a ton of Mario Golf and a ton of Mario Tennis with friends. So those, of course, you have to include. I think I played more Power Tennis than I did anything else. But, yeah, those games, they definitely deserve a mention because, of course, familiar characters for everybody who is a Nintendo fan. Well-balanced gameplay, and it may have opened eyes to some people to sports they wouldn't play regularly, like tennis or golf.
Yeah.
You know, golf, maybe some people may not be as big a fan, but the tennis one especially, I think it was one that kind of really stood out, for me at least. I played a lot of it. Doubles are fun.
Oh, I just completely forgot. I didn't put Topspin in my list.
Yeah, I was going to get into that here in a second.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about Topspin until just now. Yeah.
Yep. Baseball, he shouted out MVP Baseball 2005 due to, again, the owner mode and some of the great depth to it. The All-Star Baseball series by, I want to say that was...
All-Star Baseball.
That was Acclaim. Acclaim made that series. Yeah. It was on the GameCube.
Yeah, it was
the only option on the GameCube for a lot of people. Let's see here. What else do we have? The wrestling games. We mentioned that on PWU. Of course, the shout-outs go to No Mercy and WCW NWO Revenge.
Thank you, Aki.
Uh-huh. Which I own both of them on my N64, so we'll move to that. The NHL, or he, for NHL, he picked NHL 2K5 and 2K6, and then he kind of shouted out the mid-2000s EA games, which again, we'll get into. And then NHL 95, which is my maybe personal favorite hockey game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it took the one-timers from NHL 94 and then just completely gave, there was a little bit of fighting, not a lot, there were injuries, it was just a greatly balanced game, and it was a fun time in hockey. And then games that I wish we would have a re-release, which we have yet to have happen. We've got to get some Mutant League football and Mutant League hockey back. In case you're unfamiliar, and before we go into Dalton Nye's list, Tanner's list, and kind of discussion, Mutant League football and Mutant League hockey were a response in part on the genesis to the EA games not being able to include some of the over-the-top stuff they used to. For Madden, if you played early Maddens up until about 94, the ambulance would drive on the field to pick up a player and would run over 10 other players. Not in a gruesome manner. It was just collision detection. They would fly off like ragdoll. It was hilarious. And, of course, you could hit people after the play occasionally, which happened in NFL Blitz later on. In NHL 93, I believe, is the last one, NHL Stanley Cup, you could start fights at any time. The NHL didn't like that and wanted it taken out of the game, and EA almost lost the license because of it. They ended up taking it out for 94 and 95. I like it. But Mutant League Hockey and Mutant League Football, respectively, took that dial of violence to 20. You could bribe referees. You could, if you're playing the football game, depending on how many hits you took, you could have your player blow up on the field. Or if you played on the moon, I believe you can knock them off the moon and into space. Just so many ridiculous things. Ridiculous over-the-top monster characters. Violence. Aggressiveness. We need those back. And maybe, you know, in our current generation of video gaming, maybe not so much in terms of violence or gore, because we can do that now. I think just the overall style of play and being able to have some fun with those properties, it's necessary. We need
it.
But, you know, my list was primarily built by Brett, as I joked in the comments. So thank you for that. And thank you for all of you for chipping in. We're going to give you ours and then probably debate over it a little bit as we wrap up here. I know we have Tanner's list, who's unable to join us. Miss you, buddy. Not able to come on to today's show, but his list is, pull it up for you right here. It's NBA Street, World Series Baseball 2K5, part of that EA 2005 season we'll get into, UFC, the MLB The Show franchise, and NBA Jam. I can't argue with at least two of those. The NBA Street series will always hold a special place in my heart, especially Volume 2 and V3. Those are the games in my teenage years, more than any other sports game, maybe outside of like a Madden, I devoted a ton of time to playing.
Yeah.
I built multiple characters, had, of course, in my ever witty, creative young mind, Tracy Garnett, because coming up with names were hard.
It was hard. It was always Moss. That was always because Randy Moss was the man.
Of course. But yeah, I had that character in both of those games. The UFC game, I did not actually play a lot of past the first UFC Undisputed 2009. The one with Forrest Griffin on the cover. The first one.
That was 2008.
Eight, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Because 2009 would have been Lesnar. And then they didn't do 2010.
It was three.
It did Undisputed 3. Yeah.
So the first Undisputed, as broken as it was at times, is the one I spent a lot of time playing. It was really good. I enjoy the series. I have not played the EA Sports games yet to this point. So I'm okay with that.
The first EA UFC was really good. The newest one, I just couldn't get into. I bought it brand new being like, oh, I'm going to play the ever living out of this. And I think I like completely disconnected myself from UFC at a big point. So whenever I came back, I was just like, okay. And then the controls were all funky, so I didn't care enough to like really work at them. And that's kind of where UFC, or EA UFC 2000, whatever it was called.
Two.
That's whenever it fell off for me. But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the THQ series, all three of those games were really solid. Do you want to get into our list now?
I think we can, because we'll shout out NBA Jam. So I will actually toss over to you first to let you give us our list. What are your five favorite sports games? Let's have a discussion.
All right. I'm not going to do honorable mentions because there's like 10 more games I could list off. But
right.
Starting with Tanner's, EA Undisputed 3 is probably...
Or UFC Undisputed 3.
Undisputed 3 is probably my favorite out of that whole series just because the career mode was really intensive. You were able to fight in Pride Fighting Championships and win Grand Prix there. So just to get that violence meter of getting to stomp somebody's face in was neat.
Always fun.
Yeah. If you would never, it's real life. Fight Night Champion, going with the fighting games. Fight Night Champion, mainly because of that career mode. If you ever wanted to play Rocky without Sylvester Stallone, play Fight Night Champion Story Mode. I can't think of his... I want to say it's LaMonica Garrett was the star. LaMonica Garrett from Slam Ball fame. So it got me to say Slam Ball in the sports podcast, so I'm happy.
Yeah, because I'm never mentioning it.
Yeah, but Fight Night Champion brought in the bare knuckles boxing mode, which, again, just that in a sports game that's based on fighting... You should have a little over-the-top violence. It's not your main mode, but it was a cool, neat mode that you got to see a lot of what the Xbox 360 could do graphic-wise in a fighting game.
Yeah, and that was actually the first mature-rated game from EA Sports.
That is right. I completely forgot about that. All right, so going on with the list, NFL Street 2, the Own the Streets mode. I created John Cena, and he was my quarterback for my team. And what I did is I ended up just picking off my favorite players from each NFL team. So Randy Moss was my wide receiver. I don't even think I knew football well back then, so I just had two wide receivers instead of a defensive back. NBA Street Volume 3, that probably my favorite NBA Street game. And then my number one, which it will always be my number one until they make a new one, which will never happen, will be ESPN NFL 2K5.
Yes. Oh, boy.
I don't want to talk about it, but I want to talk about it.
Oh, we're going to talk about
it.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We're going to talk about it. My only things, I can't really argue with a lot of that list. Like I said, I didn't get to play a lot of the UFC Undisputed 3. Champion, I want to go back and play for that story mode because I watched a few people play it and enjoyed the heck out of seeing it. My last Fight Night game I invested any time into was Round 2 for the PS2.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game,
which
though.
Was good. They're solid boxing games. But...
Fight Night Round 2 through Champion were amazing games. The career modes in 2 and 3 are hands down some of the greatest things you can ever do because, like, your fighter, his body changes from fight to fight.
Yeah. You do those pre-game or those pre-fight training things. They're essentially mini games that you can modify what focus you want to have your attributes going toward.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You don't understand the sweet science like I do. You just have a big muscly guy that can hit hard.
Yeah. Or if you try to act like you know the sweet science like I do, you work on blocking and parrying, which I did poorly.
Haymakers. Haymakers. I had no stamina. Haymakers. Oh, Haymaker City. But yeah, no, like the Fight Night, like that's, you said barring the Fight Night games, it's probably Punch-Out. I think Fight Night's the best boxing game.
Yeah.
So
at least best simulation boxing game. Now, obviously, Punch-Out is more kind of a I won't say a rhythmic game, but obviously they're like weaknesses. You find the different tropes of each character. It's a fun take on boxing.
Yeah.
Just depends on which one you prefer personally.
Yeah, 1 and 2 and Punch Right Now. Like, that's what that game was for the most part.
All right. So we gave Tanner's, we gave Dalton's. I actually didn't put together a list because I got a year. No, I'm kidding. I have a list. I have a list. And these are my personal favorites. This is by no means going into some of the discussions we could have. And in no particular order. NHL 95 that Brett mentioned, I dumped hours into both the literal Genesis cart, and I had Jack's Pacific and a few other companies make those plug-in TV games.
Yeah.
One of them they had was Madden 95 and NHL 95. Now, no official rosters. It was only the official teams. Like, so you had like number 91 or number 17, whatever. Dumped so many hours into that game. Because here's the beauty of my first job in high school. I worked at a small gas station called Basic Fuel in Jackson, which no longer exists. It was cash-only place. You could sit down. I did my job. I worked 12 hours on Saturdays. When morning stuff was over and the rerun started, or the infomercial started, plugged in my game and played some hockey. Customer comes up, you pause the game, set it to the side, count out their change, off they go, and off you go. I played a couple 82-game seasons in those years I had that game. I made the Winnipeg Jets real good, which is why I still have a soft spot for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
So, NHL 95, I dumped a lot of time into NBA Street. Volume 2 will be the one. I never got to own Volume 3. I've tried to get a hold of a copy that works. I've had some trouble with it. I got Volume 2 as a gift. I think I was 13 or 14 days. Like I said, outside of maybe a Madden game, and even more than a Madden game, I dumped days into that game, making multiple characters, just playing the heck out of it. The 3 Jordan team, of course, which was a big selling point for that game, because you had the 80, I think it's 86 or 87 Jordan, you had the 96 Jordan, you had the Wizards Jordan. You could make a Jordan team.
I want to say 85, but yeah.
85,
no,
you're right. 85, 96, and then...
And then Wizards, yeah. Volume 2. Volume 3, because you put a gun to my head and told me I had to pick one, but, oh, man, Volume 2.
Volume 3, I'm not disparaging. It's simply because I did not own it, and I just had to rent it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Oh, man, Volume 2 was so good.
And, my God, it didn't come out of my PS2 at any point in any of those times I rented it. It was just in on all the time until I was finished.
Yeah.
And here's where things start getting interesting. I will go NBA Jam. I'm actually going to go NBA Jam PS3 edition. The On Fire edition.
Okay.
Now, I played a ton of the arcade. I played a ton of the SNES version and the tournament edition for Genesis. I think it's just fun that the series came back, retaining most of its fun, and then allowed some expansion with unlockable characters, multiple modes, where it wasn't just play the 32. There was different things you could do inside of those modes. They call it Jam Tour and a few other things. So, I think it was a robust take on it. Yeah, it's EA Sports, so I feel real bad about liking the EA Sports title of the last 5 or 6 years. They brought back Tim Crislow, who did the voicing for the arcade games. That's all I needed. I heard one Boom Shakalaka, and I was done. Like, this is it. This is a game. I'm cool. Let's go. I'm getting real torn at this part of the list, because it's real hard. And we're going to discuss my overall favorite here, or the favorite of all time. I'm going to put Madden 2005 on this list.
Ray Lewis.
Yes. The
hit stick.
Yeah. And we're going to get into this year as a whole, we'll say here. 2004, late 2004, early 2005, that release window, the greatest games in sports history, the greatest time in video game sports, bar none. Madden 05, great owner mode. It kind of improved on the owner mode that was open in 04. training camp became a little bit better. You had the Tony Bruno radio show, which was repetitious as all get out, but it was so much fun at the time hearing coach interviews and like this faux radio show. For a guy like me who, as a kid, this is what I wanted to do, sports radio. Hearing that on a game was surreal and awesome. You had the newspaper, the USA Today edition to it. It was just a really robust franchise mode. It looked good. The game played solidly. The hit stick really balanced out the playmaker additions to Madden 04 with the Michael Vick Break the Game initiative. It was so good. Only followed by ESPN NFL 2K5. Here's why. In case you missed it, kids, or guys and gals, ESPN NFL 2K5 came out the week before Madden for $20.
Yep.
ESPN and Visual Concepts decided that year that they were going to release all of their sports franchise games for $20 each in an effort maybe to dig under Madden. And boy, did it work. And not only did it work because it was an inexpensive option, it was a great option. The football game, and I would probably, it's going to be really hard to pick my favorites out of, but the football game beyond all others, the ESPN presentation, maybe not the real commentators, but I normally have the names memorized, but the commentators, they carried over from the NFL 2K series starting with 2K on the Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
They're not real broadcasters in real life, but my God, you could fool me. The best commentators of all time in a sports game will be right there. Until such time that we hear what happens in this new game with Gauden and Davis, this is where the pinnacle is. If you've never heard it, just go Google it. They have outtakes too, so it's really fun.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the
you could purchase the outtake audio, yeah. And that's all I ever played. I turned the music off, and I just played those guys commentating as I was going through menus because it is hilarious. A game that, as we talked about, had the ESPN imagery. You had Chris Berman opening every game. You had Trey Wingo covering the Sports Center in between weeks. You had a discussion about the potential draft guys. You had Mel Kiper's big board. It immersed you in what franchise football could be. And if you had an Xbox instead of a PS2, you got live replay highlights at halftime and the postgame show. PS2, unless you had the hard drive attachment for Final Fantasy XI, you couldn't do that. The Xbox had it. You had full motion, actual replay footage that you didn't have to hit stop and go for. It played during the postgame shows.
Oh, yeah.
And during the weeks of. Like, they would have... Yeah. You had a sports center you could watch each week that showed, here's what happened this week. You'd be like, Texans, Vikings, Chris Berman providing commentary, and you would see the play happen. It wasn't stills. You saw the replay of a game you didn't play that the AI played. So amazing. In 2004.
Yeah. Which was the crazy part. For $20.
Yeah.
I remember it was like around my birthday, which is in October. My mom hated video games, but that's the one thing she knew I always wanted for my birthday. I had an Xbox, and she was like, all right, here's $50, pick out a game. And I was like, no, I'm going to pick out two. I picked NBA 2K5, which I'm sad didn't make it on my list, and NFL 2K5, because it was $40.
Yep. By the way, Dan Stevens and Peter O'Keefe were the character names.
Thank
Not
you.
Not the real-life names, but Dan Stevens and Peter O'Keefe.
The one thing that I wanted to mention, because I talked about 2K5 recently at Gaming Grounds at 709 Broadway for all of your gaming needs.
Pre-orders, retro games, special orders, and Madden 17 is coming out in August.
Yeah. I was talking to Calvin, the repair guy there, and he was like, I was playing NBA 2K16 because it was free.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was asking me why I play sports games. I was like, well, I've always been a big sports fan. I was like, I always usually play Madden every year, even though it's the same thing. And he was like, you know, one thing I wish they would do is make a first-person mode. And I was like, funny you talk about that. Because they did that 12 years ago on ESPN 2K5. There was a first-person mode.
They started it in ESPN NFL Football, which was the 2K4. They refined it for 2K5.
It was
a thing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, all right, no,
let's not say it was amazing. I
played a couple games.
That mode. Oh, it was tough.
Just because, like, well, I mean, if you have motion sickness, don't play it.
No, stay far away.
But, like, it was done well. Like, for a first, like, nobody thought to do that. They did. It was, like, I loved it. I thought it was a neat thing. You got to see who you were because it said the last name on the top of the helmet. It was, I really liked it. And I completely forgot that was the thing until he mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
I will always say that ESPN NFL 2K5 is the most important sports game of all time because it made EA realize, oh, maybe we're not the best. Because the thing of it is that's back that time window we're talking about. They did two basketball games each year. They did two football games each year. The college football game, which I always thought was better than Madden,
Yes, and most years still is. I would say even the last one they made in 2014, still better than Madden, yeah. Because I'm still playing in my PS3.
Yeah, and they did baseball. They did a NASCAR game at one point.
For a couple of years.
Yeah. They did all these, and they were so cocky. And some of the games weren't good. And then 2K comes out and completely destroys them in the football category.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Madden may have sold more because it was the more well-known. But I don't know when the last time you played 2K5 was.
A couple months ago.
A couple months ago? Does it still hold up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Now, there are a few things you can manipulate. There are a few slant plays that are still kind of broken. And again, a game from, at this point, 12, 13 years ago has no updates.
Yeah.
So you're seeing roster. You're seeing Larry Fitzgerald's rookie year, if that's anything to tell you. Kurt Warner was ahead of Eli Manning on the depth chart for the Giants, yeah. If that tells you anything.
The My Crib mode.
Yeah.
Which was your hub, where you're able to collect... And this is where it's going to get blurry, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you're able to collect bobbleheads of, like, at least one player from each team.
Yes,
you're able to, depending on what your favorite team is, you can get a jersey to put up on the walls of, like, three players and then a Hall of Fame player and somebody else.
Or like with if you unlocked them all with the cheat code name like I did, you could put up a litany of jerseys. I think there were about 200 to choose from.
Yeah.
Between legends for each team, Pro Bowl jerseys,
yeah.
Alternate jerseys, rookie jerseys for certain players, and like two or three different jerseys for your team.
Yeah. There was a phone that you could pick up and play Jamie Kennedy and Jamie Kennedy's team. And then put Jamie Kennedy on your NFL team. Sorry, Asa.
Oh, no, I know. Jamie Kennedy, David Arquette, Carmen Electra, Devo, and
Funk Master Flex.
Yep.
His second sports release, because he was in Def Jam Vendetta.
Uh-huh.
Chris Berman was also one of the players. He was the quarterback for his team. All pro players, though. Yep.
You can do the same thing. Trey Wingo, I think, was on there as well. Trey Mel Kiper, I think, had a player.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it was just, it's one of those things. So that happens. They release it for $20. It sells like hotcakes. EA then buys the NFL license for 10 years. And I was one of the people that have been counting down the years. I don't know if they renewed it.
They've re-upped it.
And which is such a shame because it's just like, all right, EA, I get your point. And you are the evil company that South Park made fun of in that episode.
And deserved every bit of it.
Let there be competition, because that's going to make your game better. I'm sorry, the yearly updates isn't. Having a game that is better than yours in almost every way, shape, and form.
Still
is better. Like, the hits were very, I won't even say that. Getting in and out of tackles in the 2K games, it was a beautiful concept, because any tackle you could get out of. Which made you have to play defense a lot. Like, you had to play defense a lot smarter. It really focused on having a good run game.
Yeah.
Because you legitimately could pull off a 99-yard rush at any point. It's not because it's broken. It's because the mechanics were so good.
Tight.
Yeah. It made it to where it was a chess game. As opposed to Madden at the time, where a lot of the hits were animated.
Yeah.
To where... You got to see Ray Lewis do the double forearm tackle and just knock somebody flat out for like 6 years.
Yeah, hit stick. It tried to balance things. It didn't do it as well. ESPN, again, the full ESPN license, presentation, Sports Center, draft, weekly preparation, which, again, was a bit broken as it was a first-year attempt, and
yeah.
I appreciate it. But they did it, and Madden hasn't done it until now, 12, 13 years later. Full customization of your crib, like you said, a hub to kind of immerse yourself and produce your fandom, show it to your friends. Air hockey and finger football.
Oh, my
God. Which was so much fun to play when you were bored.
I completely forgot about that.
Yep. I dumped a lot of time into that, an embarrassing amount of time with that with friends, just because, like, oh, hey, we got an air hockey table for free. Let's play.
Not for free, for $20,
okay,
which is amazing for a virtual air hockey table.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean I get a football game with it?
A darn good football game with it? The best football game with it?
EA. All right.
Let's just, again, look at the games that came out that year, because we were already in hour 10.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, it's all right. I knew this was going to happen because we got excited about it. NFL 2K5, College Hoops 2K5, NBA 2K5, World Series Baseball 2K5, NHL 2K5. Probably minus World Series Baseball 2K5. I know Tanner said it was his favorite. I'm sorry, I enjoyed it, but I enjoy MVP more. A year of excellent sports releases.
You're forgetting, did you say NBA Live 2005?
I was going to go on the other side. Yeah, you had Madden 05, NBA Live 2005. NCAA March Madness 2005 was okay. I own it. It's a NCAA Football 2005. If you're a fan of NASCAR, NASCAR 2005 Chase for the Cup happened. Of course, Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2005. You have NHL 2005, which I wasn't as big a fan of by any means. You have, overall, the best year in sports gaming right there. MVP Baseball 2005. I didn't even mention it. The baseball game for EA. A killer game that year. Remember, this is pre-show.
Yeah.
You have, I promise you, you go pick up any of those games today. You put graphical enhancements aside, because of course these games are 12 years old, 13 years old now. You look at those games. You play those games. And you will experience some of the best, most well-rounded gaming experiences, franchise mode, single player, whatever, that you are going to have in a sports game.
Yeah, NBA 2005, that was the...
Carmelo Anthony cover year, the slam dunk contest year, the All-Star game year.
Yeah, it was the first All-Star weekend. They've always had the All-Star teams, but it was the first time where you got to do the three-point contest, which was, I was 2005, that had been 2004, I was 12.
Yeah.
My friends and I played the ever-living out of that. Because I didn't own 2005 because I bought NBA 2K5.
Right, so did I.
But you could, we spent hours doing that. Just the slam dunk contest and the three-point contest. Like, stuff like that. Games you're missing, NBA Ballers first debuted in 2004, which is in that same time year. It was earlier in the year, but it was in the same year. I'm a big alt sports fan. So, like, some of my favorite games are going to be the streets and whatnot. Ballers was an amazing game. The first two, the one with Dwight Howard on the cover wasn't that great.
Mm.
But you have those. You still have Midway. Well, Midway just stopped making games at that point, so you still had them around. Like, that 2003 to 2005, that window, because I like putting 2003 in it because I think that's whenever NFL Street first hit.
Mm-hmm.
Just that window of game is something we will never see in a sports game anymore, mainly because of EA. EA bought out so many licenses.
And EA made some of those games. Again, we rip on EA being an evil company. And even then, obviously because they bought the NFL license because they got scared of competition, they did. There were still so many amazing games they were a part of.
The Street Series, yeah.
Yeah, both all three of them, I guess. FIFA, NBA, and NFL.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of the FIFA ones, but like NBA Street Volume 2 and 3, I think I spent most of my middle school career with.
Yeah.
Along with the ESPN games. The fact that they haven't made an NFL Street game in, what's it been, like 8 years?
Oh, yeah.
The last one they did was not good,
no,
I think.
No, 3 was not. I own it. It's Chad Johnson on the cover.
Yeah, I was about
it's
to say
mediocre.
Chad Johnson on it. Yeah. They could easily make a new one. I don't remember the, like, dev company they had for it, but they did a fantastic job. But, yeah, no, it's a shame that we will never have that level of like that dichotomy of like, do you want the EA presentation or do you want the ESPN presentation? Do you want a full owner mode where you can relocate the stadium or do you want a good GM mode, but then you have the My Crib Hub? Luckily, the 2K series is still alive with WWE, which they really haven't used the 2K stuff that I would love for them to implement. But you still have NBA two, like you still have the NBA games. NBA 2K12 almost won game of the year.
Yeah,
because they did so many. Like it wasn't a roster update. It was a complete overhaul of the game.
It was a mighty good one at that.
Yeah. I mean, we still have great sports games coming out, but not at the volume that we used to.
Yeah, and I don't think there ever will. Just because there was a super level of competition, we didn't have all the exclusive contracts. You had companies that, because of competition, were forced to bring their A game every year.
Yeah.
And my God, did they in 2005. So, this has been the 2005 recap of sports. No, this has been PZ85 Sports. I don't know how much we could probably ramble on for another few hours about the 2004-2005 games.
Oh, yeah.
That's where all my memory. Full disclosure, I have Madden 2005 on my PS2. I'm still running a franchise on it. Like, currently. I still have my PS2 out. I still play as the Houston Texans because my franchise be good.
Because it be good.
It be popping.
Oh man, my the UFC or USC Trojans in NCAA 2007. Whenever I was playing that on my 360, I think they had 8 straight
national championships.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the similar reason is because I got bored of recruiting every 5-star. I was doing what they were doing in real life. I was just paying people.
That's right. You'll say it, but it's below the table.
Yeah.
But this has been the E3 edition of PZ85 Sports. It's super long, so I'd apologize, but I'm not sorry, because this has been a lot of fun. Dalton, thank you for joining us, sir. It's been a blast talking about Memory Road and all these sports games. That's the one where you say thank you.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Behind the scenes, I got a gesture to say something. So, but thank you. This is Cody Sandusky. Thank you for tuning into PZ85 Sports. As always, like us on Facebook, Podzilla1985. Follow us on Twitter. You can find those at Podzilla1985.com. Back us on Patreon, patreon.com, search Podzilla1985. Find the apparel at redbubble.com, search Podzilla1985. At Cody Sandusky Sports, the Facebook page I'm working on, just like it, and I promise the improvements and the pictures and all that stuff will come later. Just tune into it. Thank you for listening to PZ85 Sports. Stay safe wherever you are, because it's really hot outside. Be careful. Enjoy the sports anyway. Just bring some water. Stay hydrated. And enjoy your sports games. Go find Madden 2005. Go find ESPN NFL 2K5. You're welcome.